Welcome to another edition of Cafe de Rene. I am the Fed Will today, James Tunstall, joined once again by the Stars Show, Mr. Rene Dupree. Rene, you brought another great guest today.
Yes, indeed. This week is the other half of the infamous tag team, the Dicks. He is, I believe, the bigger dick. I mean that in a physical sense, not in a personality sense. John Tank Tolan, what's going on?
I'll agree with you. Maybe on both accounts, who knows? not much, man. Just enjoying. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. You guys are doing an awesome job. And I think it's really cool to just be a part of it. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So,
I first met Tank in OVW. I believe you were a non-contract, right? You just went there to chase the dream, right?
Yeah. I originally started the Monster Factory in Jersey.
Okay.
With Pretty Boy Larry Sharp's Monster Factory, and kicked around the indies for a little bit. Worked with Nova's brother, or Simon Dean's brother, Donnie B, for his outfit, and then promotion to a couple other ones, just here and there around, traveling all around doing that. And then after a little bit of time, I got lucky enough to, they had the OVW first tryout for coming to OVW and trying out to see if, maybe eventually you can get a developmental contract. So they did a invite and they took like 50 people. It was a week-long camp, I guess you could say. And it was Tom Pritchard was there, leading the thing with Jimmy and Danny and some of the other guys. And they're just kind of viewing the talent, and people like myself, who else came from that class? Chad, the Beast.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, my man. Who else? Jillian, Mike Mondo came from that class. Some good guys came from that class, and we were just fortunate enough to get that chance. And so we did that week, and I went home back to Jersey, wrestled around a little bit more, and sure enough, a couple months later, I got a call from Jim Cornette saying, "Hey, Tank, we like what we saw, and we want to give you the chance to come out here and work towards a developmental contract." And I said, he said, "How soon can you be there?" I said, "How soon can you have me?" So that was pretty much it. And so I remember I moved there on May 3rd, 2003. I'll never forget it. It was Derby weekend, and it was great to get out there. And everyone just took me right in. Like, it was awesome.
Really, yeah, awesome. OVW was more welcoming than, say, like the main roster, right?
Really? You think so? Yeah, no. Yeah, no. OVW, man, I could never speak highly enough of what OVW was to me. It was really a second family. I mean, everyone from Jimmy and Danny, right on down. Rip, of course, and everyone, they're all just family, man. And all of them characters in one way or another,
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. So tell me, like, you got signed in 03. Did they put you and Chad automatically together, or what was your role down there at first?
No, when I first got there, I remember I got there on the weekend, and that first Wednesday taping, they gave me a dark match just to see how I'd do. And they put me against another Jersey guy who had just gotten up there named Ben Woods. He was part of like the Jersey crew. And we just did a dark match, and they liked the match. So the very next week, my first actual TV match was against Doug Basham for the championship. And it was just, it was just a way to, give me a little bit of rub and give him another win. And that's cool. But it was awesome because I got the opportunity to wrestle on TV. And Doug was, gracious enough to give me a decent amount of, shine in the ring, which was awesome. And it was just the start of something great. And the very next match was Orton. I wrestled Orton because he was coming back after getting injured. And so he did a match there, and he's in an angle with Matt Morgan at the time. So I was in there with him, and he said, "Hey, you know DDP, how he does the diamond cutter?" And I was like, "Yeah, yeah." And he's like, "Well, since he's not with the company anymore, I wouldn't mind using that tonight if you don't mind as my, finisher." And I said, "Yeah, no, not at all, of course." And so, so sure enough, he hit it on me twice that night, you know, and he brought out Matt Morgan, blah, blah, blah. But so, yeah, I was the first guy to ever take his RKO.
Wow.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. Yeah. But to get to the whole point of the, how it all came to be, Mike Bucci Nova, he was with, Chris Cage at the time in a tag team called Adrenaline. And, he injured his knee and had, and he was out for a while. He had to have surgery. So they said, hey, you know, he's a Jersey guy, wrestled for his brother. And Jim Cornette said, hey, it would be great just to make an angle. Like, this is your boy from Jersey. He's going to step in and take your place in the meantime. And so,
nice.
Sorry, Siri. so anyway, so yeah, so I got tagged up with Cage, and we were the new Adrenaline. And I think it was the very next week we wrestled Lance Cade and who was he tagging with? It was part of the Bolin's crew. I can't remember who he's with.
O'Hare, maybe.
Who was it?
Sean O'Hare, maybe.
It might have been. Yeah, I think it might have been. And they were the tag champs, and we were at Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom. So my first match with Cage as a tag team in Adrenaline, we won the tag titles, and from there on, it was just off to the races.
Wow.
Yeah, I was just really fortunate. I mean, Jim Cornette really looked out for me, really saw something, I guess. I really appreciate everything, you know, the opportunities I had, because not everyone was able to get that opportunity as easily as I was. So very thankful.
You called yourself Tank because you were built like a tank, dude. Jesus Christ, you were wider than you were tall.
Yeah, that's what Jimmy would always say. He's like, that was one of the sayings, yep. Yeah. He's as wide as he is tall. Exactly, yeah. So, shit, I mean, I grew up and I knew, you know, looking at my mom and dad, I knew I wasn't going to be tall, so I had to be as wide as possible. So,
right.
That was that.
So, when did the whole thing with you and Chad come to be? Was it one of the writers come down and say, okay, we want you as a tag team? How'd that work out?
Well, Chad was doing his thing, you know, traveling all over, you know, obviously you interviewed him, you know, his story, and yeah. It really worked. I can't take anything away from that guy. He really hustled. He wanted it. And all the respect in the world for him for doing what he did, you know, going wherever he had to go to make shit happen. Yeah. And so, I was wrestling with Cage and things were great. We were battling back and forth with, Nova and Aaron Stevens, Jersey Shore crew, and Disciples of Sin with Seven and Tomko. You know, a bunch of other things. We were just baby faces the whole time. And when Chad came and he got signed, obviously we know the deal. We look similar when it comes to the build and look. And so Jimmy thought, hey, you know, maybe this is a time to kind of turn one of you guys heel, you know, between me and Cage, or Cage and I. So that was kind of the start of it. And it started slowly where he just kind of started wedging his way in as my cousin and kind of put a wedge between us as a team. And then next thing you know, I turn on Cage. And it wasn't long after that, actually, that I partially tore my bicep. So I was throwing punches on Cage, and, you know, when it first turned on him, and I felt something kind of snap a little bit, but it wasn't a complete tear. And it just felt like, I thought maybe it was just a muscle strain or something. So over the next 3 weeks I wrestled with, and I kept feeling it ting, ting, ting. And it was like slowly tearing more and more. And so finally, there was one match where I had to attack him from behind and hit him over the back of the chair. So as I came out of the curtain, I hit him from behind with the chair. I just felt the whole thing just snap. And it rolled right up my arm. It was not fun. But, you know, I finished a little bit that we had to do, of course. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just keep trying to wrestle because I was scared to get surgery and lose my contract by that point because I had already been signed.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Stephanie and all the people for the writers and they all came down, and they're, you know how they come down once in a while and check us all out. I wasn't sure if they did it while you were there. They came down, they're watching us, and I did a promo and I did a match, and And Tommy Dreamer actually was kind of filling the Tom Pritchard shoes at that time. And he said, and I had a really good match, and he said, Tank, and this was back in the locker room, I was getting a drink from the fountain, and he goes, Tank, I got good news and bad news. And he said, Stephanie really liked what you did, and she actually wants to bring you up right away. And I was like so stoked, you know. And he goes, the bad news is I told her that you have a torn bicep and you have to get surgery.
Shit.
And I was just gonna say, you know, I'll just go for it, man, you know, and just deal with what I gotta deal with. But in retrospect, smart to get the surgery. Yeah. But you know, things might have played out a little differently if I hadn't. But Stephanie came back and she said, Tank, I really thought you did a great job. Go get your surgery. Don't worry, nothing's gonna happen to you. We'll still have a spot for you when you come back and we'll get you up there. I said, thank you so much, and I really appreciate that. So I got my surgery, and during that time, that's when they said, okay, we're just going to put these guys together. They're going to be the Tolans. And, you know, Chad had blonde hair. So the office said, you know, let's get Tank. We'll make him have blonde hair. So next thing you know, they're calling us the Blonde Bombers. And and then one thing led to another. We eventually got, you know, called up. But we were supposed to be called up as Simon Dean's little henchmen. You know, yeah, which ended up being the Gemini Twins. If you remember,
right, yeah.
Right. So when they first brought us up, we were going to be Simon Dean's boys, you know, his henchmen, and so they were giving us some dark. They gave us like a dark match or two just to, you know, see how we'd do, and then they said, you know, let's have them just start coming out from the crowd, and this was on SmackDown. And we'll just, at the end of a tag match, they'll just come out, and whoever they won, they'll just come in and lay them out. So that's what we started doing. We'd come in from the crowd and we'd laid out, like, you know, the Mexicools or whoever else was out there at the time. And so we'd come out in black slacks and black tank tops. So we ran in there, and I just remember after one night, I rolled in there, took people out, and then I had tag top on. So I did the old, you know, Hulk Hogan, you know, I'm not trying to be Hulk Hogan, but just, you know, and, you know, just all full of, you know, piss and vinegar. And when we came back, Vince was, you know, back there, and he goes, you know, I really liked it. How you got the black slacks and the black tank top, and you just ripped it off like you were chipping down. I really loved it. And he goes,
that's a great Vince impression, by the way.
Thanks, man. But anyway, so he was just like, you know, you know, I like the way you look. And he goes, next week, I want you to come back with Chippendale outfits. I want to see how it looks. And so sure enough, you know, we went to our seamstress and we said, hey, we need these for next week. So she made quick, like, you know, I said, everything has to be tear away. So she made tear off pants and you know, the bow ties and cufflinks and all that stuff. And we came back and we showed Vince backstage. And he's like, I love it. And so that was just, you know, that was the start of it. And but at the time, we were still just running out and doing our thing. And we screwed up like one of the tag matches where we pushed Animal off the top rope with him and Heidenreich and made them lose to Eminem. So that kind of got us into a little thing with them. But Stephanie, in the meantime, Stephanie's, and they called us actually one night. Taz said they kept saying, we don't know who these guys are. And one night he goes, I know who they are. They're the Tolans, right? So then he goes, that's Tank Tolan. That's the Tolans. And but that eventually, of course, never stuck. But yeah. So Stephanie said, hey, so since you guys are going to be doing this gimmick, I come up with a wrestling name that's kind of Chippendale, but sexy, but, you know, wrestling. And I was like, all right. So next week we thought about it and we all talked to Mike, Simon Dean, Nova, whatever you want to call him, Mike. And we were all thinking, and we came up with, like, what about the Weapons of Mass Seduction? We're like, that would be like a cool name, you know, instead of Weapons of Mass Destruction. So we're like, yeah, that's great. Let's tell Stephanie. So we're like, Stephanie, we want to be called the Weapons of Mass Seduction. She's like, I love it. That's great. And out of the corner of my ear, because we're out by the ring when everyone's training and stuff, and I hear, why don't we call them the Swinging Richards? And
Michael Hayes.
That was, what's that?
Michael Hayes.
You goddamn right, Michael Hayes. Yeah. So Michael Hayes said, yeah. He goes, I'm gonna go tell Vince right now. And I was like,
here's what I found.
Jesus, shut up. You're interrupting. Anyway, rude. So sure enough, I look at Stephanie, she's like, don't worry, I'll handle this. And so I'm like, oh my God. I was like, we're gonna be called the Swingin' Richards. And so sure enough, it's like now 10 minutes before, we're going out for our match dressed, you know, now is our gimmick. We're going out as Chippendales. And she comes up to me and Chad and she says, all right, so you guys aren't going to be the Swinging Richards. It was too close to Stevie Richards. So they were going to then call you the Swinging Dicks, but that's just too, right.
So that's on the nose.
Too on the nose, right? And so she goes, so they're just going to call you the Dicks. And I just was kind of like, yep. Okay.
Womp,
indeed. But, you know, at the same time, you know how it is, you know, especially up there, you just like, they're signing my check. I'm going to do whatever I have to do, you know? So she's like, yeah, and you'll be Chad Dick and you'll be James Dick. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm James Dick. And and I was like, why can't I be Tank Dick? At least that's Tank Dick.
Right, like a big dick, yeah.
Right, and so I said, so I was like, so can we at least spell it like D-I-X? And she's like, no, they want to spell it D-I-C-K-S. And I was like, all right. I was like, that's what we're going to do. And I, it's like, you can hear Jim Ross out of the corner of my ears going, huh, sorry about your luck. That's got a limited shelf life, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, right. Oh, fuck. Yeah, so that was the beginning of the Dicks, and I thought, shit, my mom's gonna be proud.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, okay, so now at this point, did you and Chad get along? Because I know Chad was a very positive person, but being that positive and his personality and that, especially that SmackDown fucking locker room, because I've been there, that wouldn't gel well. And obviously it didn't. He rubbed people the wrong way, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, and including myself. And it's like, I felt bad, you know, being mad at him or being angry. But it's like, I felt like, you know, when you, and you've been in a tag team, tag team, like you feel like part of your career rides on your partner, you know? So you're like, pardon my French, but motherfucker, don't screw this up for me, you know? And it's just like, he was such a positive person, but it was almost to the point where it was not genuine. Even if it was genuine from him, it would come off to other people like it's ingenuine. And like, that's kind of fake and you're up to something, or you're a shady little snake or something like that, you know? And so we'd come off that way sometimes. And yeah, it was from the start. I mean, even in OVW, I mean, we kind of didn't click right away. I mean, it was tough. It was tough clicking, to be quite honest. I mean, I just wrestled with Cage and he's so laid back and awesome. And by the way, congratulations to him. Cause him and his wife are pregnant, which is awesome.
Oh,
yeah, I just saw it. I don't go on social media that much, but I just saw it. So I got to give him a call. But, you know, so congratulations to him. I'm so happy for him. But yeah, it was really tough with Chad because we would all be trying to plan stuff out and sometimes he wouldn't want to go with the flow, or he'd want to throw his own stuff in there that kind of didn't always necessarily makes sense from a psychology standpoint or something, but at the same time you want to try and still let him have his say in things, so it kind of made things difficult, but it is what it is. So the frustration really came from my side, I think, in the beginning, and then he got probably frustrated with me too, which I can't say I blame him. And I listened to his interview, and you know, I think he said he felt like there was some animosity from me, which, you know, I'm not going to say there wasn't, because I was like, my whole career, you know, could be on the line because of, you know, if wrong moves are made, you know, and at the same time, so he was so overly happy that he almost made me look like, you know, like I was a miserable person. So,
right. So
yeah, go ahead.
He was telling us stories about the hazing that went on and stuff. And so did you see that personally? Were you involved? Like, were you like, did you get hazed yourself going in there? Or like, tell me some stories, man.
Yeah, man. Well, shoot. I mean, I remember the first time I was ever hazed was actually in OVW when, I'll give you a guess who was probably there. It was Bradshaw and Farouk and they were there and we were doing a show and we had to ride back. They made us ride back in the back of the ring truck and it was pretty chilly out, man. It was pretty cold and I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. It was, you know, if you were in a car, you were comfortable, but in the back, you know, back and you're heading down the highway at, you know, in the middle of the night and it's cold out. And in the meantime, they're pouring jugs of water out onto us and everything like that. And yeah, it is what it is, man. You know, so I laughed it off. I always laughed things off. I never put it over. I never like made it seem like it bothered me at all. So that was the first time. And then it was pretty much, I think, due to, Chad, a couple of other things that happened. I think it might have been England. I went out to the ring, did my match, came back. I was like, where's my gear bag, you know? And I couldn't find it. And I heard the shower running. So go back to the shower. My gear bag's wide open. All my stuff's in there, right? All my, you know, stuff. So I wheel it out. I wheel it out, put on all my clothes, and then I just wheel it. And I pretend like nothing. And I just wheeled out my bag, zipped up my bag with all the water in it, and I wheeled it out. And you could just see the water pouring out as I'm pulling it to the tour bus. And so that was one. And then the next night, I remember I came back from the ring, and I was like, where the hell are my clothes? And so I'm looking around and then I look up on the wall. They're glued to the wall. They're just glued to the wall. So I was like, all right, that's a good one. So didn't put it over though. I took the clothes off the wall. I put them on all sticky and gluey and all that stuff. And I sat down in the chair and watched the rest of the matches like nothing. And I remember even at one point I got up and I pretend to hold on to the chair like it was stuck to me and walking around for a minute. Just to fuck around. And some of the guys laughed. And I remember the next night, Benoit pulled me out and he pulled me to the side. He said, hey, look, man, you really took, you know, everybody's, you know, fucking with you pretty good. We don't want to fuck with you anymore. I said, thanks, man. I appreciate that. He goes, they're coming around to you. So you're all right. And I was like, all right, thank you. And that was kind of that, but so after that, it stopped. But Chad, now that our gimmick was the dicks, he decided before one of our shows, one of our tours, that he was gonna, you know, learn how to Chippendale dance better. So because, you know, they said, hey, you know, trying to be a little bit more Chippendale-ish and stuff. And so he went out and he either met a guy or knew a guy who was, I guess, maybe a dancer. I don't know. And he's like, Tank, I'm going to go over to this guy's house. Let's go over. He's going to teach us how to sexy dance like a Chippendale. And he's like, we'll go over there. We'll dance and we'll learn. And I was like, I don't know. It just kind of feels a little odd to me. He goes, yeah, come on, man. He's really cool. His name's Yanni. He's really cool. I was like, I don't know, man. And so he went over by himself, danced till like 4 o'clock in the morning, the day before we had to leave. And he goes, Tank, man, let me show you. And he video recorded everything, right? I was like, how late were you up with this guy, like dancing? He goes, oh man, we were up all night dancing. I'm like, what? And I'm like, he's like, yeah, man, he's like, you gotta look, you gotta watch. And he shows me just him and this guy like dancing. And I'm like, it looked kind of strange to me. I'm not, and look, you know, it is what it is, but it just looks strange to me.
Yeah.
And but it's a kind of strange where if someone else sees it, the boys see it.
Yes.
The up there boys see it, you know, the vets, they're going to look at that and they are going to tear his ass up. And so I looked at it and he showed me in the airport and I said, Chad, I said, put that away right now. I said, don't let anyone see that shit. I said, yeah. If anyone sees that, it's over. It's over.
Yeah.
Okay. I won. So sure enough, we get on the plane. We go overseas. Our first match, we're in the locker room. And I guess he showed one of the boys, one of the lower, you know, not the top guys, but of course it works its way up real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And so of course, you know how it goes. So yeah. Went right to boom, 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 right up to Taker.
Oh,
you know? Yeah, right up to Taker. And I was standing right there, and he looks at it. He's looking on the camcorder, and he looks at it, and he just goes. And just walks away. And I'm like, motherfucker. I said, oh, this is not going to bode well. Right. So, and that was it. And obviously, I think he had already gotten some heat from some of the other guys. Like, you know, like I think, you know, he even said, I think he might have had a little heat from Bradshaw or something like that, which I wasn't. Go ahead.
How long after Taker seen this video with the Chippendale dancing that you guys were done?
It was like, I think it might have even been that night. It might have been that night. It was, it was our trip to Mexico, our tour to Mexico. It was either that night or the next. I remember we did a show and I remember I was just trying to just sneak back to the room, stay under the radar. I always just tried to stay under the radar.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I get called down. You know, ring, ring. I'm like, hello. Yeah, come on down. We're down. Your presence is requested, right? In the private catering. You know, we'd always have our little private catering area. And so I get down there, and I'll never forget. And it was a big circular table. And, you know, we're talking, you know, Taker and I think Hardcore Holly might have been there. Orton was there. I think Chavo was there. Orlando. Bradshaw was there. There's a bunch of boys there. Some of the bigger name guys. And as soon as I walk in, the first thing they say is, I remember Bradshaw said, hey, Tank, welcome to Wrestler's Court. And I was like, oh, my, you got to be shitting me. I'm like, you know, because you hear about Wrestler's Court and you know, like, and Taker's like judge, jury, executioner. And there's one seat open and it's right next to Taker, right? And I'm like, son of a bitch. And I know what's going to happen. They're going to try and make me drink my face off, right? Especially if I don't want to, right? So so instead of saying, no, I'm good. I said, mind if I have a beer? And he's like, yeah, sure, here. And so I sat down. I sat down right there. And the first thing they said to me was, Tank, if Chad wants to, you know, become a better wrestler and make your gimmick better by going and learning how to dance with a guy in the middle of the night, why wouldn't you want to do that? And I thought to myself, son of a bitch, I'm being thrown under the bus for not trying to make my tag team a better tag team, you know? And, you know, I want to get better as a wrestler and as well as, you know, the gimmick, but I sat there and thinking, I was like, I'm about to get roasted. And of course, I'm shitting myself because I'm a new guy. Yeah. And so I sat there for a minute and I said, to be quite honest, guys, I just felt like it was kind of gay.
Being honest.
And hey, look, I don't care who's gay, straight, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I, you know, as long as I'm happy in my life, it's whatever. And you guys do your things, whatever. But that's how I felt. And yeah. I didn't want to be involved in something that made me feel uncomfortable. You know, dancing with a guy in the middle of the night is kind of weird to me. And so I said, I feel like it's kind of gay. And they just, there was like almost a pause for like, what felt to me like an eternity, but it must've probably only been a second or two. And they go, "You're goddamn right, Chad, admit you're a fucking faggot." You know, that kind of shit. Hey, you know, throwing out the words, you know, like, you know, and Chad's like, I'm not gay, I swear I'm not gay. And like, I mean, it went from like, all of a sudden thinking I'm gonna get just destroyed to then just pit bull onto Chad. I mean, and I just thought to myself, oh my God. I said, they're gonna kill him. And I felt bad for the guy, you know, but at the same time I said to myself, damn it, Chad, I told you don't do something stupid.
Don't show anybody the response it would have gotten, right?
But, you know, yeah, you know, I mean, dude, you know how toxic that WWE locker room was, brother. I mean, you know, it was really just, especially during that time. I only wish that we could have experienced the camaraderie that it seems like there had been after that. Yeah, like, it seems like it was such a better locker room. And like, you know, being, and especially, dude, coming from OVW, where like, that's family.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was just like night and day. And even when I went to Ring of Honor, it was the same thing. It was like just awesome people and really just like a good chemistry with people. But so
imagine that right there with the verbiage, this day and age, how many lawsuits would be out of that, right?
Holy shit, man. Oh yeah, yeah. You can do the hell, you couldn't get that. You couldn't get away with nearly that stuff now.
You'd have the LGBTQ community coming after you with picket signs. And,
Holy shit. Yeah. And you know, the whole time he's getting all upset because they're like, why'd you do that? Blah, 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 blah. And they're coming after him. And like, he's like, I'm not gay. I swear I'm not gay. And like to the point where he started crying. He like literally started crying. And I felt bad for the guy, you know? Even though there's so much of me that had some anger towards him for different reasons, you know, with, you know, how our tag team was and stuff. But when it came down to it, it wasn't right. And he started crying and they're still messing with him. And they're like, here, Ted, Chad, calm down here, do some jumping jacks. It'll make you feel better. So come on, do some jumping jacks. So he's sitting there crying, doing jumping jacks. And he's like, I'm not gay, doing jumping jacks. And I felt bad. Yeah. And like, you know, they're just really messing with them. And then, so things calmed down a little bit. And they're like, Chad, tell me, what's up with you guys? We hear that you guys don't like each other. And he's like, no, I didn't say that. Tank, he's like, what's the deal? I was like, look, you know, there's frustrations. Every tag team goes through it sometimes. You know, we don't always see it eye to eye, but that's just the way it is. I was trying to just kind of brush it off as best as possible. And they're like, so Chad, so Tank calls all the shots. Why do you let him do that? He's like, you should stand up to Tank. You need to stand up to Tank right now. Tell him how you feel. And so Chad's like, nah. And she's like, come on, do it. So he's trying to get, they're trying to goad him to fight me, you know? So sure enough, they work him up enough to try and get him to fight me. And I'm sitting in my chair and he's like, I'm not going to fight him. And they're like, why? They're like, because why? Because my mom always told me to be the bigger man and don't be in a fight. And next thing I remember, I shit you not, they started throwing napkins in the air like there's flags on the play. They're like, what the fuck, flag on the play? You don't bring your mother into this shit. What the, you gay motherfucking fag, blah, 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 blah. Like bad, like, you know, bad. And he's like, I'm not gay. She just told me to be a bigger man and walk away from a fight. And Orlando's like Orlando, and you know Orlando, he's yeah. like yeah, and you know he's not you know he's very okay with his sexuality and out pretty much, you know, right? He is who he is, right? And he goes, Chad, if anyone knows gay, I know gay, and you're motherfucking gay, right?
Wow,
and
he said that.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said that. And so of course that upset him more. And then, so they're just trying to get him more and more. And you know, hey, look, I could see why people would think that about Chad. You know, he has
metrosexual.
Yeah. Very metrosexual. And yeah. Hey, look, how many of us weren't?
Everybody was, you had to be get along with Vince.
Oh, right. Exactly. Right? Shit, man. So like, you know, bottom line is, you know, they got to him to the point where I know he didn't want to fight me. I know he didn't want to do anything, but like he was trying to act like he was going to, he's like, Tank, they're like, stand up to him. So he's like, Tank, from now on, I call equal shots in this game. And he goes, and they're like, come on, Chad, get him. And like he's trying to get more and more, and so he's like starts to do like he's like almost like fire, like old Hogan school fire, right?
Was Chad drunk at this time?
Oh yeah, yeah. They had been working on him, man. He was there before I got there. Like I think he was already good to go, right?
Right.
And so sure enough, he's like Tank. He's like like he's trying to do this, right? But like, and so now, but he's trying to position himself so the boys can't see him, right? Why he's doing like he's gonna punch me. Right. And he goes, Tank, and he's like, and he kind of winks at me. I'm not kidding you when I legit say he winked at me, let's work, right? And he winked at me, and Bradshaw must have seen him. He goes, did you just wink? Are you trying to plan a fake fight? Are you trying to work the boys? He goes, that's what we do. And he's like, he goes, no. And I was like, holy shit. They just got on him for that, right? And so I said, and this is part of what Chad missed. And I know exactly how the whole thing went with the bathroom story. Because I think I had maybe 1.5 drinks. I was lucky enough to get away with not having drinks in me. So at that point, I was like, hey, this has already been going on for 2 hours, this whole thing. So I said, okay. I said, guys, you mind if I just use the bathroom real quick? Like, yeah, no problem. Go ahead. So I go to the bathroom. I'm taking a piss. And about 30-45 seconds after that, I'm just finishing up. Chad busts in and and Chad, I love you. I'm saying this to you. I know you're going to watch this and I love you, but I remember this clear as day and it's not to hurt you. I'm just telling it how it was because it's part of the story and you don't have to be embarrassed because you're an awesome guy. I just want you to know that. And I have no bad feelings towards you. But it was a scary time when you're a little guy in the business, you know, you're one of the new fish, man. You're just trying to fucking swim. You know, you're trying not to drown. And, you know, around all these people that you actually at one point had looked up to, you know. It's they always say, like, don't meet your heroes. And that's true with some people, you know. So but some are awesome. Hey, yes, some yes. are awesome. So I can't, you know, some best people that I met, I was happy that they were just as good and cool as what I thought they were. But anyway, so I'm getting ready to walk out. Chad busts in. He's like, Tank, you got to help me. You got to help me. Please, please, please help me get out of this. Help me get out of this. And I was like, Chad, I don't know what to do. What do I say? I don't know. I don't know how to help you. I'm sorry, Chad. I don't know what to do. And I said, you got in and we got to figure out how to get it out. That's it. You got to figure it out. And I said, but don't put them over, man. Don't put it over their stuff. And then I walked out. And he was in there for another minute. And as soon as I'm walking out, all the guys start walking in, or almost all of them. And so they're in there and they said, okay, we're done for the night. We're done. So, and the elevators were right there. And so I was like, okay, so I'll just wait for everyone and we'll take the elevators and go back up. Right. Cause I didn't want to leave without getting official permission. Right. Yeah. So I waited there, wait for everyone to come out, figure we'll all take the elevator up together. And so I'm waiting there and Chad comes out. Chad comes running out of the bathroom and he comes out. And he's like, please, 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 Tank. And I swear on everything right now. He got on his hands and knees, looked up at me and begged me, Tank, please, please let me hit you one time, please. And I said, Chad, I said, I can't let you hit me. If you hit me and I don't hit you back, then I become the bitch. I said, then I'm going to be the bitch. I was like, I can't let you just hit me and not something happen. I was like, I can't. And I'm like, in the meantime, he's just continuing to beg and beg and beg. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, where are these guys? Sure enough, he had locked them in the freaking bathroom.
So there's like 8 or 9 guys locked in there, right?
Yeah, you know, champions.
About man, 6 Taylor. World champions locked in the bathroom.
Yo, Taker was there. And I remember Taker telling the story the next day to some of the other guys I heard. And he goes, and he's like, we're going to open the door. And I opened the door. It isn't open. Little bastard locked us in. So he went. So get this shit. They all started fucking laughing that he got one over on him, right?
Right.
So he went from down here, totally freaking buried, to like over like a motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
Over shit, right?
Yeah.
And then Orlando came and unlocked the door. Orlando was the one that unlocked the door. He wasn't in there. So Orlando unlocked the door. The boys came out and they saw him on his hands and knees begging me.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
And is that when you guys had the 1-2 where you knocked him out?
That's the whole thing. This is a 2-night event, man. Extravaganza. Crazy. Oh. Crazy. So, but it was the end of the night. And so we get on the elevator, and I'll never forget this because I was really scared for Chad. I felt like really worried about him because I remember we were in the elevator, a bunch of big guys and in the elevator, and we were just standing there and they were just, you know, doing this kind of stuff to Chad, bumping him around like he's like a freaking pinball, you know, and he's like literally like crying. And, you know, people get off at their floors. And then we get off. I remember I was on a different floor than Chad, but I made sure I went to Chad's floor to walk him to his room because he was so upset. And I was really worried for his mental and physical health. And I stayed with him for a real long time, and he just cried and cried and cried. And I remember I hugged him and I tried, and I was like, hey, man, just hang in there. You're going to be okay. And he's like, I don't understand why this happened. Why is this happening? He's like, I just try to be nice to everybody. And he's like, and I was like, Chad, I was like, look, I was like, you know, we don't see eye to eye all the time, but look, you have to listen to me. Just don't put them over and don't give in to all the stuff that they do. And just go with the flow. Just try and go with the flow. Stay under the radar, you know. Just try and stay under the radar. And that's all you can really do. And so I stayed with him until I felt like, okay, he's not gonna like, you know, do something stupid and hurt himself or something. Because I really was worried about him like that. He was that upset. And the next day, you know, he gets on the bus and everything goes down and we do our thing, and then we're at the arena, and this. You know, they have the, you know, the sheet and they say who's wrestling who. And I think we were wrestling like Brian Kendrick and Paul London. And it said Paul London and Brian Kendrick versus a dick and a pussy. So yep. And so that was that. And so we went out there, and I remember Steamboat was our agent. And I remember every time I got in the ring and I'd wrestle, it'd be fine. But then as soon as I tagged in Chad, when Chad went in, you would hear a baby crying over the loudspeakers. at the arena. They would play a baby crying, wah, wah, while he was in there wrestling. Every time there's a tag, tag in, tag out, every time. And you could just hear the boys laughing. You just knew they were just, you know, it was a whole thing. Yeah, yeah. But so that was just that. And then I know this is a long-ass story, but this is how it happened.
No, it's good to clarify. So that was the match. Then you went back to the hotel. Is that where the fight happened?
Yeah. So you know, we go back that night, and I try to go right up to my room, get to bed. You know, that's like screw catering or anything like that, man. So, I'm laying in bed, and didn't take long before I get a call, and it's Benoit, and he's like, "Hey, I'm gonna come up and get you. We're gonna go down to catering." I'm like, "All right." I'm like, "Here we go again." And I just thought it was going to be just the boys again. But dude, when I walked down there, we're in another town now. And this was in a nice hotel. I can't even remember the hotel, but it was a nice hotel. It was a crowded hotel. And we're in this really big, beautiful catering room. And when I walk in, it was like the whole roster, basically. It was like freaking cast and crew, like everybody, like people I'd never seen before. Right. And I'm not kidding you. When there was, as I'm walking in, I see there's like money on the tables. Like there's all these round tables and everyone's got money on the tables. And as I'm walking, I'm like, what the? And sure enough, there's one seat open. And of course it's next to Taker. Right. Once again. And so I'm like, all right. I'm like, great. What's going to happen now? And so the deal was they're trying to get me to fight him again. And I'm sitting there and I said, Taker, may I have a beer? He's like, yeah, sure. Here. So I'm drinking a beer, and Chad, you know, they already have him lit up. They're already, he's probably, you know, 9-10 sheets to the wind. And you know, they got him riled up and trying to pick up right back where we left off the day before. And he's like, Tank, I'm not gonna stand for this, blah, 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 blah. And oh, meanwhile, by the way, that money, that was all bets. Those were all bets. Those were all bets on the table. Was he gonna whoop my ass? Was I gonna whoop his ass? Was he gonna cry? Like, there was all kinds of bets going on, but basically, was I gonna whoop him or whatever, right? So they got him riled up. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm literally just sitting back in a chair, just having a beer. And Chad's doing his thing. And I'm like, Chad, I don't want to fight you. I'm not going to fight you. Chad, please sit down. I don't want to fight you. And he's like, Tank, I'm not going to stand for this. And I'm like, Chad, please sit down. And I'm like, and now I'm like leaning back. I'm like, you know how you lean back on two legs of chair? I'm having a drink. And I didn't know he was going to do it. And sure as shit, he hit me. He went wham, he hit me. I flew back off my chair backwards, right? He hit me. Like, and I heard his version of it. But no, he hit me. He hit me hard enough to knock me off the back of the chair and do a back roll, right? And next thing I know, he got me in a front face lock, right? He's got me in front face lock. And I'm like, and I know he's drunk as shit. But I'm like, but I said, damn it, Chad. I said, now I gotta freaking hit you.
Right.
Like, why I'm in it. And so like, you know, I get out of it. And as soon as he does that, I went, bam. I didn't hit him with a closed fist. I smacked the shit out of his face. And he went like that. And I said, I'll knock it the fuck off. I'm not gonna lose my job because you're stupid shit.
Right.
And I was a little heated at that time, but I knew that the boys were going to be getting what they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I went, right? Yeah. So I was like, you know, I'm not gonna. So I was like that. I was like, now knock the hell off. And then I just went. Oh, by the way, it was in the middle of Bradshaw saying something to me, which he was on the other side of Undertaker. Okay. And so I was like, now knock the hell off. And I just looked at him. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what were you saying? And like nothing happened. And because I was just trying to diffuse the situation, right?
Right.
But everybody just lost it. They're like, they just started laughing. They're like, Chad, you fucking hit Tanky and he fucking gets it right up and smacks you right back in the face like the bitch you are. He's like, and then he acts like nothing happened. It's like, Chad, you fucking bitch. You know, that kind of stuff.
So was Chad knocked out from the slap or was he?
Oh, no, no, no. There's just this much more.
We're almost okay. Done. Damn.
Yeah. So Bradshaw was like, oh, Tangle, I gotta tell you, oh, that's funny as shit. Here's a toast. And so he's going to toast me, and I was like, Chad knocked the beer out of my hand, and Taker's like, here, take mine. And so I was like, okay, Mr. Taker, you know. So I'm leaning over, like I'm gonna go and toast Bradshaw, because I'm just gonna let that happen, and then hopefully that's it. Right.
Yeah.
So as I'm going to do this, I out of the corner of my eye, I see Chad like getting ready to wheel off. Right.
Oh.
And I stopped and I went, whoa. And he saw me like, yo, what's up? And he goes, psych. He said, psych. Like, as if he was kidding, as if he wasn't really going to hit me.
Okay.
And look, I know he was drunk as hell, so he's just thinking, what can I say at this moment, whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, psych. I said, psych? And I shook my head, and as I went to toast Bradshaw, wham! He clocked me.
Wow.
He clocked me right in the face. I stumbled back. I said, now I'm going to have to beat your fucking ass.
Right.
And he started doing his best Ric Flair banging off.
Okay.
Yeah, timeout. Right. I said no. And so that was that. And then I just came in and I at that point it's lost. I said, wop, wop, wop. And I remember the first shot, I busted his nose open. Second shot, I popped him right in the eye. And then the third shot, I hit him in his lip, his bottom lip, and it knocked his teeth right through his bottom lip.
Holy shit.
Yeah, knocked his teeth right through his bottom lip. And it actually cut my pinky right down to the bone. His teeth sliced me right down to the bone. And like, so now I'm on top of him. And I just remember, and they pulled me off of him. And, you know, I didn't do anything more to him, but they pulled me off of him. And there he is in like a nice white shirt, just covered in blood, off like this. Snoring basically because he just got hit, tagged, and I felt bad, but at the time I was just, you know, whatever.
You saw red, right? You just lost your temper.
Yeah, right. Because I was just like, damn it. And so I remember like a couple of the guys picked him up and they're like, get this fucker back to his room. Take this guy. Get him the fuck out of here. Blah, 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 blah. Get him back to his room. He's a piece of shit, you know? And he was out of it anyway. And so they're like basically dragging him back to his room and just, I guess, just in a bloody mess through the lobby and everything, like a busy hotel, nice hotel. Yeah. And I just remember I was so full of adrenaline at the time that I didn't even notice. And I looked down and I could just see like the bone and my skin ripped wide open. And Dr. Rios, I think it was Dr. Rios, if it was the doctor at the time. And he's like, yeah, this is why I was here. I had a feeling this was going to happen. And he goes, all right, let me see. And so he looked at it and I got a boxer fracture and tore my ligament, right? So it was wide open. And so he looks at it, he goes, yep, you tore your ligament and you got a fracture probably. He goes, okay, guys, and all the guys are in the middle. He goes, all right, guys, who wants to see me repair a tendon or a ligament? Right there. And the guys are like, yeah, I do. I'm like, shit, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I was scared as shit because I was scared that needle was going to hurt me when he numbed me up.
Right.
I was like, shit, please don't be a big pussy and have this needle hurt me and me say, ow, because yeah. So he went and put the Novocaine in and he's and they're literally like right on top of me, watching him repair the tendon while they and stitch me up. Yeah. So so they did that, and then they're like, look, they're like, and I remember it was like Bradshaw and Thager, and they're like, look, you're cool with us, you're one of us now, you're cool, we're good, you're good with us, you're cool. He goes, but your fucking partner, he's an asshole. And that was that. And that was, and so there wasn't much to it after that, because we got let go like about a month after. And you know, it was what it was, but the next day, you know, the deal, they didn't even let Chad ride in the bus. They made him ride in a cab. And on the ride to the airport, when he got out, he had fucking puked all in the cab. And so, I think Bradshaw, I think, ended up paying for the cab or something like that. And they didn't let him do shit. And they really treated him like trash. It was bad. I'm not saying it was Bradshaw personally, because I don't know what they had going on between each other. And Bradshaw, actually, I'll be honest, other than just the minor, you know, hazing that everyone does, I mean, Bradshaw actually never gave me that much of a personal problem. Like, he never was coming at me like real hard himself. And that was probably because, you know, he was doing his gimmick with Jillian, and Jillian and I were together at the time.
So
he never really gave me any, but still, I mean, in a roundabout way, it still became a problem, because Chad's problem ended up being my problem, because it all led up to a whole thing.
So you were cool with them, but a month later, you're out of a job.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think Randy liked me, though, to be quite honest.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. And I think it stems back to, he was doing a Six Flags show, and, Danny said, hey, can you go and, tell, Randy, I want to see him. And he was in one, you know, we had a couple trailers and stuff. And so I was like, yeah, no problem, Danny. So I went in there, and I was like, Hey, Randy. I was like, Danny said he wants to see it. That's all I said to him. I think he took that as I was trying to give him orders or something like that, from what I understand.
Now, what year is this?
This is like probably 2005 or 2004.
Oh, 2004. Randy, I know his fucking ego is just out of control, man.
Yeah.
I heard he's changed, but during those years, shoof.
Hey, man, you know, it is what it is. You know, I never held animosity towards anyone. I just wanted to go and do what I loved doing, which was wrestling. That was it, yeah. You know, so. Yeah. But I will say that I remember the first time I met you, you know, you were doing your thing. You were so young, but like freaking in phenomenal shake. And I was like, damn, who's this dude, man? He's freaking ridiculous. Man. Yeah, so
he's a dick.
No,
dick. Bad member of the dicks.
Not a dick.
I should have been the dick.
you probably would have done a hell of a lot better and gotten over. I remember you and some of the other guys were just really, you guys were always good people towards me, and I never had a problem with anyone. And I just appreciate everything that, you know, you guys have, you know, the way you guys treated new people like myself when we came in, because you didn't give us a hard time. You know, at the same time, you know, we realized that, you know, you guys were the vets and we were just coming in, so we'd give up our chairs and do what we had to do to make sure that we showed our respect. But you guys treated us well in OVW, and I just want to say I appreciate everything, like stuff that, like, you know, you and Conway and Dinsmore and Basham and all those guys, you know, all those guys that were, like, you know, up there when I was just coming in. I appreciate everything you guys did. Thank you.
So now the wrestling game is done for you, or?
I do small shows here and there, you know, took a little time off. You know, I got a 21 month old. So, you know, just enjoying, thanks, man. I'm just enjoying being a dad right now. I was just doing a lot of local stuff, not going too far out of the area, but you know, I might do some more stuff coming down the road. Just, it's, you know, it's hard. It's hard when you enjoy it, you know. You know, just, you got that bug. You just want to go out there and entertain and just have some fun.
That bug, man, is the most addicting drug in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, man, it is. Yeah, I've never really been an addict of anything, but I never got into gimmicks or anything like that. But wrestling is one of the things, being an entertainer and just having fun, going out there and just that's probably pretty much my drug, you know, just entertaining. So yeah, man.
Well, man, I'm so glad you're doing well. Congratulations on the baby. Thanks for clearing up that story, because you know there's always three sides. One guy is the other guy is the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, look, Chad's version can be Chad's version, and that's cool. I got no bad feelings towards Chad. So, right. And to be quite honest, I really don't have bad feelings towards anyone. I mean, I've had my time of being pissed off about how things turned out and the way we got released and all that shit, and being pissed off at the world and, you know, why that have to go down that way, that bullshit. But life goes on, man. Life goes on, you know.
That's it. You know, some guys never let go of that resentment, and it leads them right to their grave, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'm not saying every once in a while it doesn't eat me up when I turn on TV and I see a couple guys out there. I'm like, damn, I wish I could be doing that right now, you know.
Yeah.
But but it is what it is. And I also wish I was 6'5", because it probably would have been a hell of a lot different if I was 6'5" with my build.
Right.
What are you gonna do? It is what it is.
Yeah. When's the last time you and Chad spoke?
It's been, I can't even tell you. It's been years. I think he friended me on Facebook maybe a couple years ago. And I accepted a request, but like he's so MIA sometimes, and I'm horrible on social media anyway, but like, you know, I'd have no problem talking to Chad and saying, hey man, I wish you all the best. Cause I know deep down he's not a bad person. He has a good heart. He means well. He's just a very different person. And hey, that's cool. We're all different. So we were gasoline and what's the other one that would go with that, that would light it on fire? Gasoline and a match, or gasoline and whatever. You know, we just did oil and water. We didn't mix.
Oil and water.
So, yeah.
Yeah, his personality did not fit that locker room at all. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately.
I'm not saying he's a bad person, but it's just
right.
That competitive, toxic masculinity, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. He wanted it bad enough. I mean, he wanted it just as bad as anyone.
Yeah.
And he worked hard for it. But you definitely have to have a certain mentality. You got to have a certain type of thick skin. You know, you got to be alligator thick, man. And you just got to let shit roll off your back. You know, you can't let stuff bother you. You just got to let shit go. And that's it, man. If you don't, you'll get eaten alive. And that's proof right there, was in the pudding. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a big game to play. So
yeah, man. Well, brother, I'm so glad you're doing well. It was good to catch up with you, and maybe maybe somewhere down the line we'll have a face off, you and Chad again.
That'd be great, man. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. I saw Chad was on. I was like, hey, man, let's get both sides to this and just really tell an entertaining story. So. But thanks so much for having me on. I'm glad to see you're doing well. And thank you so much, James, as well. Thanks for having me on. And it's been a pleasure and an honor.
Before we finish, do you want to give people your details where they can find you? Any promoters or anything?
You can just hit me up on Facebook. You can, just Tank Tolan on Facebook. I also own Apex Custom Apparel. I do custom apparel, screen printer, and all that stuff. So I do them for gyms and restaurants and bars and businesses and wrestlers and all that other stuff. So yeah, I make gear and all that stuff. So yeah, but that's okay, pretty much
I might have to hit you up for some new tights, bro.
Hey man, well, I don't do tights, I just do screen printing.
Okay, well, I'll have to hit you
I do
up
like some. Merch I do merch yeah I do merch
okay
yeah, yeah. Okay, so, but anyway, no, but thanks for having me on, guys. It's a great pleasure, and I'm just glad to see you guys are doing well. So awesome, thank you, bro. For everything.
Be safe. God bless. Talk soon, okay?
Sounds good, man. Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.